The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round three recap for this week's Valero Texas Open. And joining me to break it all down, it's Mark Immelman. Mark, that looks like another hotel room to me. How are you?
It is. It's very intimate in this place. Yeah, I'm on. There wasn't a desk for some reason in this place, so we sort of perched on a little thing that's almost a bedside table, and it's precarious. If the whole lot goes tumbling, you know why. Okay.
All right. Well, we appreciate you going through that, getting everything set up so we can talk for a few minutes about the Valero Texas Open. But before we do that, golf was played, Mark, at Augusta National today. The women's amateur concludes with Tsubasa Kanjitani winning the second annual Augusta National Women's Amateur. I mean, this thing was coming down the stretch, Mark. I think at one point there were six or seven golfers who were tied for the lead or within a shot. It was just plenty of drama down there in Georgia in the last day.
You know, it certainly was. And I've got two sort of main takeaways. And the first one is that for the second in as many years, I've been absolutely glued to the show. I mean, edition number one with Jennifer Kupcho and Maria Fassi. I mean, I couldn't take my eyes off those two as they were coming down the stretch there. And then today, I just loved the way the golf course began to play because it got my mind spinning about what this place is going to be like Thursday through Sunday for the Masters proper. And then you've got Rose Zhang, who's been playing awesome for a while, and you got the young Swedish girl who was in the Erica, I think it was Lynn Blatt, I can't remember her first name. She was in the final group there, and it was ebb and flow and sort of all sorts of buzz around the golf course. There were lots of people out there, which was cool to see, and then, you know, for girls, I should say, to post and then have those numbers hold up, that's always fun. I think the playoff in many respects was perhaps, if you're a fan like me, a little bit of a letdown. But it spoke to, you know, the way Erica, the one playoff member, Emilia, I should say, Migliaccio, you could see the nerves on all of them. And she sort of showed it some of that approach shots. And then she's got a difficult shot off an uphill lie over a bunker. And so when these sort of things begin to transpire and it's happening on international television, you can see how meaningful this stuff is. And so for me, it was like, wow, just the second edition of the Augusta National Women's Amateur. And already this thing's a fixture because you could just see the meaning of it all. It was etched over the player's face. And then to have a young Japanese 17-year-old star, I mean, she is about to be a folk hero in Japan after the win here.
Yeah, she played awesome. And I certainly don't blame Amelia for fanning her approach shot out on 18. I would not have been able to even grip a club in that moment, Mark, with all of the nerves and everything that is on the line. But we're going to talk about the Masters plenty. Let's talk about the third round of the Valero Texas Open, where it is Jordan Spieth atop the leaderboard in a tie with Matt Wallace. Let's start with Spieth here, Mark, because he shoots a 5-under 67, but made the turn in even par before notching birdies at 12, 14, 15, 17, and 18 to share the 54-hole lead.
Can you call it Spieth-ing? He was doing. Spieth-ing is where you hit it all over the lot and you make birdies. I mean, the way he played coming down the back nine, you could see there was the swagger about him. It was the usual thing where he's chatting nonstop and Michael Greller is like, yeah, this is your number, go. And then I think the whole thing was told by the interaction there on the 17th when he blows one way right. You know, takes a really smart drop, I think, in the end. And hits, for me, the shot of the tournament thus far, that second shot up. And, I mean, off a tight lie to land the thing on a downhill. And he asked Michael twice to check a yardage over there. And Gorilla's like, okay. Yeah. And he walks and passes the thing off again. And that's just who they are. And then, you know, he backs that up with just an unreal fairway metal into the middle of the final green. And that's not an easy shot, I've got to tell you. And so Jordan's doing Jordan things. And, you know, speaking to a guy who picked him in one and done this week, and from my mouth, who said in the last podcast I was on that I have a feeling about Jordan this week, but I still didn't pick him. I don't know where I've left my brain over the last few events. I really don't, because he's looking all of the part. You know, when he hits it in play off the tee, he can take advantage, and when he doesn't, he makes saves, and that's how Jordan Spieth plays.
Yeah, Spieth-ing it was exactly what he did on his inward nine. That was a 31, but he's tied with Matt Wallace, Mark, who also shot a Saturday 67. And I think his approach into 18 is really, you know, a perfect synopsis of him not going away in this, right? I mean, he hits an approach shot from 284 yards right into the heart of the green, has a look at eagle. And while we saw the third member of that group, Cameron Tringale, really leak oil and struggle over the course of the day, Matt Wallace said, I'm here to stay. I'm going to be a fixture in this tournament for the last 18 holes.
Yeah, but you got to give Cam Tringale a nod for that. You know, when he knocked in the birdie putt on the seventh, the Shooter McGavin thing, I thought that was legendary. But Wallace, I mean, he's won multiple times in the European Tour. He was the conference player of the year the 1 year he was in college over at Jacksonville State. And so the guy's got some pedigree. And he's got that sort of European stick-to-itiveness about him. And a quick story about Matt Wallace that for me was telling. Because I've gotten to know him some from his time on the tour. And at Colonial last year, he had missed the cut. This was the first event back after the COVID lockdown. So he misses the cut, and I've got the McIlroy group on Saturday for CBS. And so we're getting ready for the show, and I'm out there about 30 minutes, 45 minutes before the time. And I look over there in the gallery. Well, there wasn't a gallery then, but there's Matt Wallace and his caddy, Irish Dave, who's a legendary caddy on the European Tour. He's not working for him anymore. Irish Dave.
Real quick, Mark, why does every caddy have a nickname? Every single caddy has a nickname.
That's a thing. Irish Dave is a beauty, and he's worked for everybody, okay? And they're out there watching Rory play, and I'm waiting in the shade for the show to start, and Matt eases over and leans on the cart, and so we're chit-chatting, and I'm like, why are you out here? And he goes, well, two things. Rory McIlroy's leg action I'm trying to emulate, and he goes, and when you get to watch the best player in the world play under competition and under pressure, there's so much to be learned. And I looked at this going, this guy's a multiple winner and still prepared to learn and still prepared to keep his mind open enough to be able to walk around the golf course and go and watch a fellow professional play. And I was like, he went up in my estimation. So I spoke to him. I'm like, hey, big guy, would you come on my podcast? And he's like, sure, I'd love to. And he's just so insightful, so candid. He's got a bit of a hot temper, like a lot of the Euros do. Mm-hmm. He's got some of that Tyrrell Hatton thing in him. Yeah. But you're right, he's not going away. And he's a heck of a swinger of the golf club. He hits it flush. And if it's windy again tomorrow, I think that'll stand him in good stead. And just incidentally, I'm a Spieth fan. I'm a Charlie Hoffman fan. I definitely am. But I'm so pulling for Matt Wallace tomorrow, I cannot tell you. Given that you and Porter have both got Hoffman and Spieth in the one and done league.
That's right. You're going to be dodging bullets all Sunday long. I love it. I love it when players become fans. And I also love the little tidbit that, like, okay, Jacksonville State, not Jacksonville, Florida, Jacksonville, Alabama, Mark. Yeah. That's like the little fun fact about Jacksonville State.
Well, yeah, quickly. I mean, another player who's went there was Danny Willett for a couple of years. And Willett was a first team All-America at a mid-tier Division One school, then left there, made the Walker Cup team, the GB&I team, and then obviously turned professional, won, and then won a major. So there's there's something going on in the water there in North Alabama, and they've had some good teams for many, many years.
Well, let's talk about Charlie Hoffman, because it's Valero Texas Open. It's Charlie Hoffman's season, and after an opening 75 on Thursday, Charlie Hoffman shoots a 66 on Friday, the round of the day, and backs it up with a 65 on Saturday. Oh, by the way, the round of the day, Mark, that'll get you right back into a tournament in a hurry.
Oh, certainly. And you and I and Cinda, were a week early on Charlie Hoffman, because he had been playing really well. I think the work he had been doing with Mark Blackburn, to me, it looked like it settled. So I figured, well, he has a ball striker of note down in Corrales, Punta Cana. It's going to be right up his alley. And he plays solidly down there, has a bad final day, but obviously you can see the makings of it. Then you bring a guy to a place where he's played well before, and all of a sudden things start to line up. And it's amazing to me that horses for courses thing, you know, where there's that element of comfortability about a player, where lines fit your eye and the reeds on the greens come easily, and where holes sort of fit your shape. And it lends itself a lot to ball striking success. And then you make a few putts, and man, did he hold a few putts on the back nine today? Yeah, well, it's a recipe for good rounds. And all of a sudden he finds himself in a place where he's very comfortable.
Speaking of horses for courses, Charlie Hoffman is a thoroughbred at TPC San Antonio. Since 2006, he leads all players in top five finishes. He's got four of those. Top 10 finishes, he's got six of those. And top 25s, he's got 11 of those. Mark, I think we should probably just be doing the same thing we do with Webb at Wyndham and Rory at Eastlake. We should just be penciling him in right here every single year.
Yeah, I've lost my mind. I have. I'm actually going to check myself in, Rick. I'm a little concerned about my one and done selections over the last few weeks.
All right, we're going to look ahead to our final round on Sunday and talk about who we think can take this thing down. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
And we're back. All right, Mark, I'm going to ask you to put aside your rooting interest. We know you are dodging Jordan Spieth, dodging Charlie Hoffman on Sunday, but it is Wallace and it is Spieth at the top, and they're two shots clear of Hoffman, who is then two shots clear of Cameron Tringale. So I think it's safe to say, and odds makers would agree, that the winner is probably coming out of either Matt Wallace, Jordan Spieth, or Charlie Hoffman. Would you agree with that sentiment?
I would, although in years past, when I used to call this event for PGA Tour Radio, there was always a player who made a run. The advanced staff set the course up so it's gettable, and then typically around this place, the winds kick up a bit more in the afternoon. So if you're out early, you have a bit of an advantage, and if you get going the way the greens, where they're designed, you can fit balls into certain hole locations and use slopes and such. So you'll see a player down the field there sort of fire around, like Martin Laird a few years ago fired 63, and that was enough to hold off Rory McIlroy. So I feel like there'll be some sort of a round shot in the morning, and something will be posted that players will have to beat. But this is what I know for certain. I've been beating the drum since, you know, when was it, Sunday night last week. Jordan's playing well. He's making putts when it means something, and he's got the Texas crowd behind him. So, to me, you've got to stay in front of Jordan Spieth if you want to win this thing. And if Matt Wallace wants to win, he knows this. So right now I'm saying, look, there's a target on Spieth's back. The only person that can beat Jordan right now, to me, is Jordan Spieth. And if he doesn't, I feel like he picks up his first victory in a while.
Jordan Spieth, even money over at William Hill. If we add Cameron Tringale into that group of three that we mentioned, they're the only golfers 40-1 or shorter than 40-1, excuse me. So William Hill has drawn a line in the sand that the winner is coming from those groups. I like the idea of Matt Wallace and Jordan Spieth playing in the final group together, Mark, because Wallace is going to be able to know exactly what Jordan Spieth's up to. Obviously, there's going to be plenty of pressure, as there is on any Sunday on the PGA Tour, but I think you're right. The expectation is Jordan Spieth wins this golf tournament and he heads into Augusta on cloud nine. Matt Wallace is certainly going to do his best to play spoiler on Sunday.
Yeah, the key for all of them, but especially for Spieth, who's dodging a little bit of an errant driver like he normally does, is you've just got to avoid the double bogey ball off the tee. He doesn't have to gain strokes off the tee. And now I'm sounding like Kyle, forgive me. He's got to put the ball in play and then allow his iron game and his wedges and his putter, which are his strengths, to sort of do the trick. And there's going to be a bunch of punch and counterpunch going on, I think, early in the round, because the front nine, it's certainly the harder of the two, and there are fewer birdie opportunities. So you'll see sort of ebbing and flowing and dodging of bullets over the first 2.5-3 hours of play. But then you're going to start to see it get a bit exciting, and folks will get excitable late in the round. And you've got holes like 14, certainly, and then 15's a hard 4 and 16. You can make a birdie on that 3 and 17, 18, of course. And I think it's going to come down to one of those those final few holes.
I certainly feel the same way. And finally, Mark, Jordan Spieth, 18 holes away from ending the streak. We all know no victory since the 2017 Open Championship. If he pulls it off the week before the Masters, are we going to be able to resuscitate Kyle Porter? I mean, how is this going to work? Like, are we going to be able to get in contact with him? Will anybody have eyes on him? Is he going to have a wellness check? What's going to happen here?
Well, he's got to have I think he's arriving in Augusta now, so he's got to have his COVID test. So we'll know about that. At least that'll be clear. But I think we can handle Kyle with Jordan winning in Texas. I think if Jordan wins in Augusta, Georgia, then it might be the end. I really do. And then we'll have to send out a search party.
All right. Well, you're the closest, so you'll have to lead that search party if it happens. But for now, we're going to put a pin in the Valero Texas Open. We've got 18 holes to go. We'll figure out how this all shakes out over the course of Sunday. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob doing all the hard work behind the scenes. And let me thank Mark Immelman, who you can find on Twitter at @Mark_Immelman. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.